I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. As far as the local sports scene goes, a little bit quiet right now. I know we had the announcement earlier this week, no spring sports, no spring championships. And so we're well-versed on what's happening at this level, the high school, the middle school level. Let's move on and talk about the next level up, the college level. Joining us right now, a longtime friend who used to join us quite frequently here on Drive Time Sports, Casey Smirthwaite, who is now the Senior Associate Athletic Director at Southern Utah University in Cedar City. And Casey, it's been far too long since we've had you on the show. I appreciate you joining us today, though.
Jordan, it is a pleasure. Love to be on Drive Time Sports.
It's been a long time, but I'll tell you, a lot's happened, I know, in your world since that point. We could talk about your career path and some of the things that you've accomplished in that time frame, but boy, what a time to be a Senior Associate Athletic Director, I'm assuming.
You know, it is absolutely crazy, but every day I wake up ready to attack it. You don't know what you don't know. And right now there's a lot of people, whether it's my industry, whether, you know, the car industry, automotive industry, educational industry, it's different for everybody. And we're all kind of learning on the fly and trying to do what's best for not only our industry, but for our families and for our neighbors.
As far as the athletic scene is concerned, obviously we know that there's no spring sports, right? We didn't have a finale to March Madness. Everybody knows everything as far as that realm is concerned. But now as we start gearing up for the summer months, what has it been like and what are the conversations that you have been a part of across the board, across the country, if we talk about college athletics, D1, D2, all the way down to D3?
It is all over the map. I've had conversations with folks on national calls, on regional calls. Next week, I'm looking forward to having a call with just the state of Utah development and revenue generation and external affairs folks. But I've heard everything from, you know, all systems to go, we're planning, ready to roll August 1st, to maybe we ought to consider redshirting the whole year in collegiate athletics. I know there's a small movement from some schools saying, right now, we got to put everything on hold. Let's take a redshirt year for everything.
Now, let me back that particular aspect up to the high school level here once again, and it's something that I don't believe is being talked about enough. So say you were to redshirt the entire 2020-21 athletic season. If that is the case, or maybe it's just fall sports, I mean, whatever be the case, we have redshirts in 2020 in some regard. How does that affect the graduating high school class and student athletes of 2020, 2021, and 2022 moving forward?
It's a huge impact, and right now, I think from a collegiate athletic standpoint, even a high school athletic standpoint, we have to remember that these are 16, 17, 18-year-old kids at the high school level moving towards the collegiate level who are 18 and 22-year-old kids. These are student athletes, and the former is a lot more important than the latter. And from a scholarship standpoint, everybody's talking about the spring sports. Hey, you know, let's give the money. We got to make sure that they're taken care of. I'm all for it. As a former coach, from a Division I assistant softball coach, JUCO baseball coach, former student athlete, wasn't very good, to now an athletic administrator, I can see it from different vantage points. But everybody's talking about, hey, we got to get the money back into the spring sports student athletes, which I love that the NCAA came out and said, we need to make sure we got to make this right. But it's not only impacting the current players that are on these collegiate teams, but like you said, these juniors and seniors in high school that might be coming in saying, hey, I'm a big-time prospect, point guard, shortstop, sprinter, and coach said that I was going to be replacing this senior that's coming back for another year. Am I redshirting? Well, all of a sudden, we're giving them scholarships, and we got to stay within the parameters that the NCAA gave us. Now, they have relieved some of those bylaws from a compliance standpoint, but down the road, you know, these juniors who are now going to be seniors, they might be looking at a different program and a different scholarship situation than they were if we just moved on, played the season as is.
Again, our guest right now is Casey Smirthwaite, again, Senior Associate Athletic Director with Southern Utah University, as we talk about the current landscape of college athletics. You had mentioned something to me off the cuff that I thought was extremely interesting. It's the guarantee money that schools will receive for just football alone, right? So if you have one guarantee game where you're going to get a payday of anywhere from $400,000 to $500,000, that obviously changes the financial stability of an athletics program. Now, I know not every college football program, even if we're talking D1, D2, not every college football program is locked into a one-game guarantee. We're talking about multiple game guarantees. And again, it's another aspect of the business that isn't being talked about right now. This throws a wrench into everything.
Correct, Jordan. You nailed it right there, that these are not just one-game guarantees. There are schedules. In fact, I got reached out by an institution saying, hey, would you be interested in scheduling something for 2032? 2032, there's a lot that can happen between now and then. And just think about what's happened in the last 6 weeks from a financial standpoint. And I'll have to put a pause on this for a second. Every CFO right now in any industry is under the microscope. We are looking and challenging the way we do things. This is really throwing a true curveball off speed, to use a sports analogy there, to readjust and, you know, cut back, be creative. And, you know, Nate Esplin, our CFO at SUU, does an excellent job. Our athletic director, Debbie Corum, you know, daily conversations about financials. But, you know, putting it in perspective this way, we have a deal with Utah State to play them this year, and that's somewhere, I think it's $325,000, give or take a little bit. You know, we're planning for that in our budget. Now all of a sudden you take that away, we're sitting in, you know, less than $325,000 than we were planning for. Now, this is kind of our lower end year in terms of guarantees for our football season. So we were already planning on having a lean year, but there's institutions out there that are playing two or three football guarantee games that offset a budget by $1.5 to $2 million, and that's at the FCS level. I mean, I know Utah State in a couple of years is playing Alabama to the tune of $1.4, $1.5 million. From a financial standpoint, institutions are already planning for that money to come in. Now all of a sudden you're throwing an even bigger curveball, because that money helps offset scholarships. It helps offset your women's basketball team, women's softball team, travel. And it goes back sometimes to the institution in terms of scholarship money back to the university. I was talking to a couple of donors. They said if they don't have football, their business is going to take at least a 20% hit, because on game days, their restaurant or their store sees such an uptick in fans coming in, parents coming out of town. The hotel industry had a great conversation with somebody who owns a hotel, saying this is going to be such a financial impact for my business without having sports. So it goes, you can just see the domino effect. It goes beyond what's going to happen on the playing field. And the nice thing is, going back to what I said earlier, student athletes. You know, we've given these opportunities to these, you know, high school and 18 to 22-year-old kids to come in, get an education. And I think that's the part that we're starting to remember. Not that we ever forgot it, but, the you know, education, I think it was Nelson Mandela, you know, education is the most powerful weapon, which, you know, you can change the world. We have given them these scholarships, and we need to make sure that they're graduating and getting that degree, changing their lives for beyond the playing field.
Let's have a simplistic talk here, because right now, and you don't have to answer this question, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Right now, there is talk about college football. This is one of the cash cows when we're talking about college athletics. In your opinion, do you believe we get a college football season?
Jordan, you're throwing some heat right there. I will take that, and I will say, if I was a betting man, you know, hopefully no compliance officers are listening in, can't bet, but I don't think, yeah, we'll keep that between you and I, Jordan. I'll say that we don't have a college football season, or at least a kind of truncated season, you know, cut in half, maybe conference only. I will, you know, step back and say, from an FCS standpoint, a lot of the, you know, talk has been, you know, Power 5 level, a little bit of the mid-major group of five. I don't think we have a season, though. I think we're going to get into August, and let's say everything's all a go. You know, fall camp gets going. It just takes one student athlete, not even a student athlete, one athletic trainer, one assistant coach who ends up getting COVID-19 or, you know, what other mutation we get. And, you know, I was looking at the schedule last night for, you know, Alabama. you know, they're week one, they're playing USC. That's a Pac-12 opponent, Alabama SEC. Let's say an athletic trainer a couple weeks later tests positive for COVID-19. That means USC, who then turns around and plays New Mexico in the Mountain West Conference. There's two conferences, plus Bama, SEC. They turn around and they play Georgia State, the Sun Belt, in week two. Then they find out that, you know, this athletic trainer tests positive. You can see the domino effect that's going to happen all across the nation. You saw that, you know, on that Wednesday night when Rudy Gobert tested positive. Within 12 of, you know, 16 hours, everything shut down. It just takes one. I want a college football season. I want to be able to see any type of fall sports, you know, cross country, you know, football, those two very polarizing sports in the sense of, you know, financial gains. It affects everything that we do.
Yeah, and I think one of the other important aspects that we have to think about here is what the current situation right now, here in mid-April, what this has done to the entire fall sports season, such as spring practices for football. We didn't have those, right? So already, for a sport like football that is so physical, right, the physicality is up there. We've seen measures taken to make the game safer. We haven't had any spring practices or team gatherings. That impacts it, at least in some aspect, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and there's compliance bylaws that talk about the acclimation period, where you can only have X amount of practices in shorts, then you can add in pads and so on and so forth. Has this 6 weeks not seemed like the longest 6 weeks of our lives?
Yeah, it has.
I started at SUU coming from Utah State the last week of January, 1st of February. Within 5 weeks, what I do and what I'm going to do here has changed completely. And it has affected. I was talking to our volleyball coach a couple weeks ago, and he just was talking about they're going to have to cut back, you know, 10 matches. You know, softball, you know, the minimum requirement to have a season is 27 games. And right now, everybody has 50 to 56 games. So that right there in and of itself is just going beyond football. Educationally, online classes, you know, face-to-face interaction, how do you have practice? This goes such beyond, you know, COVID-19 than what we're actually talking about.
Yeah, let me throw another scenario out there for you, and we can revert back to the national sports scene. Yesterday, the big news was Jalen Green. He's going to make the jump, go to the G League. He's a G League prospect now instead of going down the road of the NCAA. With there being so many question marks into the fall and what this means for a student-athlete, this shouldn't come to a surprise to anyone, at least in your position. Maybe it was a surprise to us at first in the media or maybe to fans, but for someone in your position, you couldn't have been surprised to see this at all.
No, not at all. And in fact, I'm surprised it's taken this long. It feels like just you know, a couple years ago we were still in the one and done, but we are now in the situation where the NBA has leverage to be able to get these prospective student athletes to make a straight jump. The money, yeah, as much as I hate to admit it, we kind of have created our own monster a little bit. You know, there's a lot of talk with, you know, name and likeness right now. But student athletes are going to look from a financial standpoint and say, hey, I'm going to go make $500K is what I think Jalen is going to get, you know, going to the G League, versus I'm going to go to a, you know, college basketball scene, go to class, you know, hit my grades. And in reality, I know what my next step is. I think we're holding them back. I would like to see the NCAA make a couple of changes, which this is a great time to hit a reset button. Great time to hit the reset button, to really challenge the way we do things and really to grow the industry and help these student athletes get the education that they need. Jalen, he's going to go on. He's going to go be a G League. He's going to go play in the NBA. He's going to go make millions. You know, from a financial standpoint, it makes way too much sense. Save money. He's going to be set up for the rest of our lives, for the rest of his lives. For us, from an institutional FCS level, we want to get our student-athletes in here to give them the best experience. I mean, our student-athletes at SUU had a 3.25 GPA. We want them to be champions both on and off the field of play. And right now we're facing a $500,000 to $600,000 cut from the NCAA just because we didn't have March Madness. If a student-athlete has an opportunity to go pro or move on in this life to go do something that they'd love, go ahead and go do it. We want to be preparing our student-athletes and our students as is for the next step in life. And again, going back to the student-athlete, I think if we're giving and fulfilling the educational goals of these students, they should be able to move on. And, you know, again, you can ask anybody, from a CFO, from a coach to a student-athlete, they're all going to have different opinions on how we operate on this during this crisis. But at the end of the day, are we providing the experience, the education for these student athletes? And again, if there's folks that can move on, regular students that can move on and go get a job, get paid, they ought to do it. I mean, we have some student athletes that are coming back saying, you know what, I'm ready to move on. I don't see a lot of students on campuses that aren't student athletes saying, you know what, I actually want to come back for another year of college. They're saying, I'm done, I've graduated, I'm going to move on. It comes back to the educational standpoint, and if that fulfills and aligns with somebody with their career goals, let's give them an education. If that does not, they're going to move on, be professional, and we wish them the best of luck.
Casey Smirthwaite, again, Senior Associate Athletic Director with Southern Utah University. Casey, it was definitely fun to get you back on the show, a very interesting topic. Hopefully we can have more conversations about this in the very near future, because it's definitely not going anywhere anytime soon.
No, it's not. And, you know, I thank you so much for this opportunity. You know, Drive Time Sports, you know, Castle Country, great place to be. I love where I am, but there's always fond memories of those folks in Price and in that area. SUU, there's a strong sense of community right now in the world and also in Cedar City, and I'm sure in Price. And I just hope that we can all rally together and we can find a cure and move forward as a community.
Absolutely. Well put. Again, that's Casey Smirthwaite here on Drive Time Sports. We do have to break for a quick moment. When we return, we'll move over to the national sports scene, but we do have plenty more coming up here on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.